Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. And then looking briefly in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, once again, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to read and meditate on your word and receive your counsel, your guidance, your direction as we live the life of kingdom warriors who know that we've been called by you out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. And you've called us to be warriors on the battlefield of life, knowing how to take the weapon of your word to go forth in victory. Teach us, Lord, teach our hands to war. Help us to be a people that fight wisely and knowing that we look to you because you are our strength, you are our source, you are all. Thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to you today and we lift high your name. We exalt you, Father. We're thankful for the fact that you sent your son, Jesus, to be born in Bethlehem, to die a terrible death on the cross for sinners like us. We thank you for that today. We praise you. We look back on a year, Father, where you've been faithful to take care of us, to provide for us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rick, for that prayer. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Thank you for the privilege of having you as a part of our listening family, wherever you're listening from. Father, thank you again for our guest that will be with us, that is with us today. Thank you for your hand of grace upon her and the work you've called her to. And thank you for the opportunity you give each and every one of us to be warriors who are listening to your word and obeying your word. And Father, Lord, guide us to be the pro-life warriors that you would have us to be, standing boldly and courageously for life and against the tragedy of abortion. And thank you for how that we will see the end of abortion in our lifetime. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Specifically this time, I want to take a moment to read one additional passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, that deals with putting on the whole armor of God. And this is wisdom for all believers, recognizing that, like it or not, every day we deal with spiritual warfare. We're called to be warriors on the battlefield of life. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. And to help us to set up the broadcast for today and what we'll be looking at today, as well as allowing our guest to share her journey, I want to share with you an article that I wrote entitled Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. And it helps us to better understand the biblical perspective on the fact that, sadly, the sad reality of what we know as Roe v. Wade was a case decided that clearly violated the Word of God. And sadly, it legalized murder in the womb. Again, the article is entitled Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. Exodus 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Then Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 through 38. And then Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Once again, the life issue is heavily in the news. After Texas passed and enacted a recent heartbeat bill, and with the Mississippi case that was recently heard before the high court, the cause of life is very much on the minds of our nation. Many are excited about the progress for the cause of life that is being made, and many are very upset and disturbed about the recent developments in support of life. Why is the passion so strong on both sides? Many in our culture believe that the Word of God is true and is to be our standard. Many believers see the Word of God as our bottom line for right and wrong, and rightfully so, because it is. Faithful followers of Christ see that every life conceived is a precious life, a life made in the image of God, and they recognize that we are called to stand boldly and passionately for life, as Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 tells us. Tragically, there are many politicians, religious leaders, and other individuals who are demonically driven and ideologically misled, who stand for the quote-unquote right to take the life of innocent children at will. Possibly one of the most tragic realities surrounding the Roe v. Wade decision is this truth. The decision to legalize abortion was from the beginning wicked, misguided, and just wrong on so many counts. Abortion is the deliberate and planned killing of an innocent human being. Well, the deliberate and planned killing of a human being is first-degree murder. And first-degree murder has been against the law for a long time. Yet through Roe v. Wade, it was decided that the specific form of murder that we call abortion was now, quote-unquote, acceptable and legal. Again, Roe v. Wade should have never happened. The Word of God very clearly and plainly states, you shall not murder, Exodus 20:13. Murder always has been and always will be wrong. Taking the life of innocent human beings is wrong in every instance. Roe v. Wade was a wicked decision on the part of the High Court, and the sooner we as a nation correct this error, the better off our nation will be. Not only should it be overturned, it should have never happened. After almost 50 years since the Roe v. Wade decision was handed down, we have seen the quote-unquote legal slaughter of more than 63 million innocent babies. Children, all those lives have been lost after a few people in high places decided that when murder happens by way of abortion, it's acceptable and legal. Without question, Roe v. Wade is a wrong and definitely needs to be, without question, Roe v. Wade is a wrong that definitely needs to be righted. There's not a right way to do wrong. Recently, after Texas passed and enacted their recent heartbeat bill, the president issued this statement. We will launch a whole-of-government effort to respond, looking at what steps we can take to ensure that Texans have access to safe and legal abortions. Question, how can anyone ever call a procedure, quote-unquote, safe that always results in the brutal murder of an innocent baby, 100% of the time? In other words, how do you safely murder an innocent human being? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 states, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Again, Isaiah 5:20. There is so much spiritual blindness on the part of many who are irate at the thought of ending legalized abortion. Why are they so angry? What will happen if they don't get what they want? This is what will happen. Many babies will live. Many babies will get a chance to live a full and productive life. Many children will be afforded the opportunity to fulfill their God-ordained destiny in life. How can people rage and fume when the unborn are afforded the opportunity to be born and live? Reading that last sentence one more time. How can people rage and fume when the unborn are afforded the opportunity to be born and live? Father, once again, thank you for the opportunity we have as individual believers and as a nation to be able to stand for life and stand against the reality of abortion. Thank you for we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for the call you've placed upon us to courageously stand for life and to boldly speak out on behalf of life, and help us to stand up and be the ambassadors for your kingdom, representing your heart and your will the way you have us to. Father, more and more stir us individually and collectively as the body of Christ to listen to you, to your word and your will. And help us each, wherever you've placed each and every one of us, to be about your business, to be a strong and bold voice for life. Help us to speak out loudly in our individual spheres of influence. Help us to be wise and bold in our own homes and clear in our biblical understanding of this issue with our own family. And help us to be articulate and courageous mouthpieces for your word and your will in any and every setting you'd have us to be. Help us to know, Lord, that each baby is precious in your sight. Each baby belongs to you and was sent into the world as a gift to the world sent by you. Help us to better have your mind, your heart, your perspective, and your understanding of the fact that you've called us to stand for life. You told us in your word in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, choose life. Help us to live that way, to think that way, to believe that way, to stand that way. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the article that we just shared is entitled Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, we'd be glad to send you a copy for you to be able to share with you, with your family and others that you may know. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share it with you. We'll be right back with our guest.
the nation have totally forsaken you.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Music of Fred Hammond with If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We are very honored to have with us in studio today Representative Becky Curry. She's a member of the State Legislature of Mississippi. Representative Curry, great to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Good to have you, and I only recently had the privilege of meeting you by phone, and of course today I met you in person. But I'm going to ask as we get started, again, grateful to have you with us today, if you'll just further introduce yourself to our listeners and tell our listeners whatever you feel like would be helpful for them to know about who Becky Curry is, and then we want to get into talking more about the specific topics we're looking at today.
Well, thank you so much, and just briefly, I've been a registered nurse for 42 years. I'm a little older than you might think, but I have always loved people and wanted to help people. I always knew that from a little girl. I knew that I was going to be a nurse. Never dreamed to be a doctor. I just wanted to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. And so I've been that and loved people. And I also was just always interested in politics, which is a very odd thing, I think, for most people. I worked on a lot of campaigns, and I always thought, you know, I could do that better than them. Mm-hmm. And I live in Brookhaven, Mississippi, and my House of Representative member retired. And, you know, I just felt led to pursue that. You know, I've worked on a lot of campaigns, like I said, and then, you know, I wondered if it was ego or, you know, just something else driving me. So I prayed a lot about it. And, you know, I set up a few meetings and I bargained with God a little bit. I know we all do that when we're not sure about things. And I remember going to a meeting and I said, Lord, if this is what I want and not what you want, you know, please just let this meeting fall apart and I'll get it. Mm-hmm. And the meeting would go great. And then the next time I would do the same thing. So all of a sudden I am running for the Mississippi House of Representatives. You know, a lot of people knew me from the hospital, worked in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. And then I did my job because, you know, he leads us, but you have to work and do your part.
That's right.
And
that's
I worked right. hard, and the next thing I knew, I was in the Mississippi House of Representatives.
Becky, I want to ask if you'll take a moment to pray for listeners to grow in their understanding of how that God guides us through our prayer journey one step at a time. And just like you very briefly and I think in a beautiful way summarized a part of your journey, and he wants us all to learn to listen and obey, and that's so important for all of us. Would you pray for listeners to grow in their understanding of that truth?
Dear Heavenly Father, please help everyone to know that you do talk to us.
Yes, Lord,
we just have
Jesus.
To listen. And so many times I hear from people, you know, just God just doesn't talk to me. And it's that you're not spending time with the Word and you're not listening, because he will talk to you. And he'll talk to you in different ways. I've been studying your Word, and you've blessed me so much. And please help people to understand the more time they spend with you, the closer they are with you, and they'll hear you.
Amen. Thank you. And again, that you said a lot in those first few minutes. I appreciate you sharing that then. So, well, one of the goals in our broadcast today is we wanted you to share about your journey in helping to initiate the bill that became the Dobbs case. So if you would, in your own way, just kind of lead us into that journey, onto that journey with you.
I will. And you know, there's days that we're in the House of Representatives and there's arguing and fighting over different things. And you wonder, you know, Lord, why did you put me here? Well, I found out why you put me there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am pro-life, of course. And a few years before the Dobbs bill came out, which it was not called the Dobbs bill then. It was called the 15-week gestational act. Mm-hmm. But we did a 20-week bill. And this is, you know, we all know that life begins at conception. And I've had a lot of people criticize me because of these bills, because they're not understanding that you have to chip away at this. And we began chipping in 2016. We did a 20-week bill. Mm-hmm. And I worked on it, and I knew that the Lord wanted me to work on this. But in 2018, Commissioner Andy Gibson, he's our ag commissioner now. He was in the House of Representatives with me then. Mm-hmm. He and I began working on this bill. And, you know, when things just feel differently, you know that they're anointed. Mm-hmm. That became how I felt about this bill.
You sensed the Lord's clear guidance and blessing on what you were doing.
That's right. And I knew the 20-week bill was good, and we were making progress. But when I tell you that I knew that this bill was going to the Supreme Court in 2018, even said it in a caucus meeting. We have a caucus meeting where we make decisions, and we were going to do the heartbeat bill just like in Texas. This is in 2020. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would never fight against a pro-life bill, but I did stand up and say, you know, I'm worried about us doing anything to stop the progress of this bill that when I worked on it, I knew was anointed, and God spoke to me, and I knew that it was going all the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, other people just look at you like,
sure, yeah.
You know, how do you know all these things? Mm-hmm. I just felt it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to work on the heartbeat bill only because I didn't want it to stand in the way of this. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things one of the justices, Kagan, said is they have a heartbeat bill right behind this that's coming. Mm-hmm. And we do. They didn't listen to me. We worked on it. Of course, it passed. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that really worried me. There's a lot of states right now that have the heartbeat bill, just like the Texas bill, waiting to see how this legislation turns out. Right. I know that this is in God's hands and not ours, and you know, I probably worried for nothing, but it's just the 15-week bill. It just played such a huge part in my life that year in studying. At 15 weeks, you know, a baby has all of its major organs. Mm-hmm. It can taste the food that the mother eats. Mm-hmm. It sucks its thumb, you know, but it feels pain. And that's why we picked the 15-week bill. So an abortion, the procedure is brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is literally chopping the baby up, and it feels pain. And we wouldn't allow that to happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. And here we have this illegal in America. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other things we found is our laws are right up there with North Korea and China. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not two countries we want to emulate at all. Those are two countries we don't want to be like. Mm-hmm. But Europe and other nations, even Russia, have stricter abortion laws than we do. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like this bill was going to go all the way. I feel like it came at a time that was perfect. Only God knew that we were going to have more conservative justices on the court at this point in life. And, you know, when I look at it, I'm always shocked about how this one woman from Brookhaven, Mississippi, wrote this bill in 2018, and now it's before the Supreme Court. It sometimes it still hasn't, you know, sunk in really well. Mm. And Go ahead.
You know, Becky, something I was going to say that I think it's so helpful for believers to understand that we're wise to always look at life through a biblical lens, from God's perspective, God's point of view, because so many times we live in a world where things and truth is distorted. It's not correct. At least it appears distorted, correct, and people don't think straight. They don't speak straight. They don't act straight in so many regards. Well, the reality is murder always has been wrong. It's always been against the word and the will of God. But sadly, again, as we touched on earlier, Roe v. Wade legalized murder.
That's right.
Some people would say, well, that's a harsh way to put it. No, that's a real way to put it. That's exactly what it did. And sadly, some people think of the word of abortion. They don't even think in terms of murder, but it's simply the murder of an innocent baby in the womb. And the fact is, it's important that we understand God's word hasn't changed. Murder is still wrong, whether it's an innocent baby or an adult. And so the sooner we are able to overturn Roe v. Wade, the better for the nation and for everyone in our nation as well. Yet sadly, a lot of people don't see it quite that way.
Well, Pastor Joseph, I even have lost family members that will no longer speak to me about since I have this bill has come before the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So you never know who that person's going to be either, you know. And I'm okay, you know, because God led me to do this.
That's right.
And He's taken care of me. A lot of people have asked me, you know, aren't you scared? No, I'm not scared.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared at all. if my career, if I have been put here to save this many lives, boy, God knew what He was doing, didn't
Praise God. He sure did. He sure did. And I guess also just to think of this, the fact that you're both a nurse and a politician as well is a kind of a unique combination, but at the same time, a beautiful combination in view of how that God can use who we are and what He's called us to do beautifully to accomplish His work and His will.
That's right. And it's very difficult to out-medical talk me. Now, you make an out-lawyer talk me, but on the House floor, it's very difficult to out-medical talk me, and a lot of people try to do that. And so Andy Gibson, of course, who I told you co-authored the bill with me, and I don't want to leave him out because he played a huge part. He was the chairman of Judd B., and he got it through his committee, and then we both presented it on the House floor, and he was the lawyer, and I was the nurse. And we were the dynamic duo, you know. We had it all covered, and I'm just telling you, it was just a God thing to watch. And if there was something I didn't know about legal terms, He answered those questions, and I did all the medical questions. And you know, it was just a blessing. It was it's been just a blessing.
How would you like people to pray for the bill at this point in time, you know, after it's been heard before the Supreme Court? And of course, they're going to make a decision to be handed down during the year 2022. How would you encourage believers to pray for that at this point?
I want them to pray for the justices, that they have the courage to do what's right. And, you know, thank goodness we do have some new members of the court that are conservative members and are Christian members. So I believe that this all came about and just perfectly. But pray for them because they have a hard decision to make. You know, they say that being a justice isn't political, but I believe that it very much is. And, you know, we have to pray for them to make the right decisions. We've done all the work, and now it's up to them.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's funny how sometimes we use words and terms, and, you know, the reality is many times a term means, for some people, it means what they want it to mean. But
that's right.
I think it's to help it understand. Everything really is spiritual in nature. There's a sense in which you could say everything is political as well. And so people can say all day long, well, this is not political.
But it is.
Well, in a very real sense, everything is.
That's right.
But more important, what's critical for everything is, what does God want? What is the will of God in a given situation, in a circumstance? And the Bible, one scripture very clearly tells us, God's word says, you shall not murder. And another one says, choose life and you, that you and your children may live. God's word is clear. And if people love the Lord and love his word and are guided by his word, they clearly should be standing on the side of life. That's not ambiguous, you know. So that's an important truth for believers to grasp. Would you not agree with
that? I agree 100%. And, you know, we've just gotten so used to how things are presented to us by the news media and television. And we've got to stop. We've got to stop at some point and everybody pray. Everybody, you know, turn to God because we're in some really tough times.
Mm-hmm. And to be clearly guided by the loving word of God and not be led astray in view of the fact that we live in a world that's so deceptive, that is so misleading in so many regards. And you hear people use terms like reproductive justice or that abortion is health care. Well, those are lies, but people have dressed them up in such a way where it sounds like, well, maybe it's okay, or maybe this. Again, even the use of reproductive justice as a term to support abortion, that's extremely deceptive.
So, very much so.
But we'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Representative Becky Curry of the Mississippi State Legislature. We'll be right back. Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And a reminder to all of us is that being guided by the word of God is so critical to everything in life. And as believers, again, if you don't have the habit of reading three chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that great habit. But the word of God is to be central to everything we are and everything we do as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our in-studio guest today is Representative Becky Curry. She's a member of the Mississippi State Legislature. And Becky, as we go into this last segment, I want to give you the opportunity to share whatever's on your heart. So let's get right into that.
Well, one of the things that you and I've discussed recently is when the Supreme Court makes a decision. And then here we are, and we all, as Christians, are going to have to step up to this plate.
That's right.
And my goal in starting this year, long before the justices come with their decision in June, we are going to pass some legislation to make adoption easier. We're just not going to put children in bad places, but we're going to make adoption easier. There's a lot of people who want a child and would give a child a fantastic home, but they can't afford to go through all that. So we have got to come up, and Christians have got to help come up with ways to take care of these children. Are there going to be some unwanted children? There will be. And we're going to have to, we're putting more money into children advocacy centers and pregnancy centers across the state. We're going to have to step up to the plate and help. you know, I can't imagine that we won't be there. And I can't imagine that there's not a home waiting for these children. You know, I find myself praying a lot that women don't find themselves in a position of using an abortion as birth control. As Christians, we know that premarital sex is wrong. Mm-hmm. And our culture has just beaten us down. I have to tell you, I don't even watch TV much anymore because there generally is nothing very good on. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, letting our children see some of these things, they may grow up to think that all of these things are okay and, you know, find themselves in a position of, you know, a pregnancy that they're not ready for.
That's right.
But what we don't want to do is say, okay, now we change this law. Good luck. See you later. Mm-hmm. I did my work. And our work's not done.
You know, Becky, you've touched on so many important things for believers in the church to really grasp that God clearly has a will for us to love people and to reach out and meet the needs of people in the love of Christ. So that's what the church is called to do. And so this is not really a new thing for the church to do, but the fact is there's a great need for the believers to mature to where they understand this is our responsibility as the body of Christ. I think of here in the state of Mississippi, I think it's somewhere around 42 or so pregnancy clinics. And as you touched on that, their work is very important now, but the importance of their work will only increase as I believe very much Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And that's a great thing, and it's something that will honor the Lord. We as the church are to love people through difficult times and difficult seasons. And you know, Becky, from my perspective, I think it's disappointing to see how many times people, you know, for different reasons, will look upon pregnancy as being such a negative thing when we know it's a beautiful thing from God.
That's right.
And we need to see it that way. But, you know, like as you and I have discussed, my wife Birdie and I are part of the leadership of the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, which will be a mobile medical pregnancy clinic that will serve in the southern part of the Mississippi Delta. The ministry of pregnancy clinics is important, but it's just only going to grow in its importance. So would you take a moment now to pray for our center, but also these ministries all over the state, and for the church to step up and come alongside and help them too?
Dear Heavenly Father, as we move into this next stage of life,
yes, Lord,
as we are going to save millions and millions of babies across this country,
yes, Lord,
help Christians to understand it's now our job to help take care of them.
Thank you.
We want to be with mothers. We know that they will love their children, but they'll face uncertain times, and they're going to need Christians to stand up beside them. Please help the legislature to make good decisions, to make good decisions to be there when people need that helping hand. Please open our hearts. Please open our minds. Let us pray. Let us pray for these children that they're not going to be unwanted and abused, that we'll be there. We'll be there, dear Lord, to help their life be better. Please help us in these days to come. We're going to need so much guidance.
Thank you.
I know you've gotten me through this part, and I know my job is yet to come. These things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Becky, one thing I would mention, too, is that we thank and praise God for legislators like yourself who were courageous enough to do the right thing and to seek to honor God when you put legislation that will make laws together. And we're all called to be courageous. There's a great need for more leadership in, obviously, in political circles, but also in church circles to be more courageous and bold. The church should be leading the way in these areas. And it shouldn't be an issue where the church should ever have to be begged by anyone to do the right thing, because that's who we are. That's what we're called to do. Would you specifically pray for the leadership of the church as well as political leaders to be courageous in standing for righteousness and right, truthful causes too?
Thank you. Dear God, please be with all of us, but especially our churches.
Yes, Lord.
We need to have that door open. We need to not be judgmental. We need to be there to help. We need to be Christians. God, Jesus asked us to take care of the poor and the sick and the needy, the hungry.
Yes, Lord.
And we have to do that. We have to stand there. I do know that when I look at you, when I pass to go to heaven, I want you to be able to look at me and say, job well done.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Please ask. Please be with all the Christians who want to stand up for these babies' lives. Please be with all of us as we go through this next year. Please give us the wisdom and the right tools to use to help all of these mothers and these babies. These things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, in the last few moments, Becky, what words of encouragement would you share with believers, the church as a whole, about where we are in this season of life and in the world, and as we see where, again, I believe very much so God is about to, by his grace, overturn Roe v. Wade, and thank God for that. But what would you encourage, what words of encouragement would you want to share with the church at this time?
You know, the word that has been coming to me so much is hope. Mm-hmm. You know, we've hoped for this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you so many years now, 50 years, we've mm-hmm. hoped for this.
That's right.
And, you know, it's here. And so
it's our Jubilee year.
That's right. And, you know, so it's here.
Mm-hmm.
So there is reason to have hope, mm-hmm. but we can't stop.
That's right.
And we're going to have to continue to hope that these babies' lives will be blessed, and we know God is going to be there for them, but are we going to be there for them?
That's right.
And but just keep hope. Hope is alive now for me more than it's been in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if someone wants to get in touch with you or just communicate with you, how, as a member of the legislature, how could they get in touch with you or your office?
I can give you my office number, be happy to.
Okay.
And also, my email address is on the Mississippi Legislature website, mm-hmm. Becky Curry. It's bcurry@house.ms.gov. And I do a lot by Facebook and Messenger, believe that or not. People mm-hmm. Who are not my friends send me a message on Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you one more number, 601-359-3360 is my office number, 601-359-3360. And if you want to talk to me, if you want to, you know, the best ideas that we've had for legislation didn't come from me.
Mm-hmm.
It came from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in you and I talking, you know, we talked about things we can do to help people when Roe v. Wade is overturned. Right. And believe me, some of the best ideas I've ever had were from other people. So mm-hmm. I'm open to hear them. And we need to, like I said, I fought hard to overturn Roe v. Wade. And mm-hmm. now I'm going to fight hard to make sure these children are taken care of.
Amen. Amen. How would you ask believers to pray for you and the members of the people in leadership in our state?
Well, I would ask that you give them wisdom. You know, when you're spending taxpayers' money, sometimes you need guidance. I'm going to be honest with you. You need guidance to know mm-hmm. that this is a place where you want to spend taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's where the House and the Senate and the governor, they all don't agree. And mm-hmm. it's very difficult to make a plan. And mm-hmm. I would say, please help us.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to come up with that plan that's going to be right in the sight of God,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll know that everything will work out okay. But
that's
it
right.
is very difficult to get that through,
mm-hmm.
All the way through from, you know, the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. So
Amen.
Please pray for that.
Wisdom and grace to work together
that's
in a
right.
way that honors the Lord. So
that's
okay.
right.
All right. Well, as we normally do towards the end of the broadcast, before we end our time, if there's someone listening today and you've never made that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. If you desire to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me at this time? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we really would like to hear from you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Again, Representative Becky Curry, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor to have you, and we appreciate your wisdom and how you've allowed the Lord to use you as well.
Thank you so much for having me, and it was so nice to meet you, Pastor Joseph.
Great to have you, and hopefully this will be the first of maybe many times we'll get you back on the broadcast.
That would be great. That would be great.
To every listener, please, in all seriousness, pray much for Representative Becky Curry and your personal representative, and pray for all our leaders in our state government. Pray for leaders in our nation. Pray for the president, the vice president, our Congress. All of our governmental leaders need much prayer. Keep them in your prayers each and every day as the Word directs us to. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.